Thank you so much. We have truly been led to the throne and been blessed in song this morning. Pastor friend of mine who knew that I was preaching on health this morning sent me the following. Dogbert, I don't understand why you or anyone would become a vegetarian. You mean, why don't I take dead animals, cook them until they become carcinogenic, then eat them instead of something nutritious? Is that your question? Exactly. Is there any good reason? Have you joined a cult? No, I live in Loma Linda. I hope I can find a better reason for you this morning to become a vegetarian if you aren't than living in Loma Linda. It has been in the news lately, hasn't it? A young man bought a shiny brand new car for which he had saved for many years for just the down payment. He was given the owner's manual that told exactly how to care for his new car in the very best way to keep it running at its best for many years. It was an expensive car, and you would think the new owner would have at least read the instructions, but he didn't. The only thing he could think about was how fast it could reach 60 miles per hour in just so many seconds. He liked to make it go fast as it could, and then put on the brakes and see how quickly he could stop. He liked to hear the squeal of the tires. He didn't bother to check the oil or the water or the air in the tires. That was too much bother. It took too much time. He couldn't waste his valuable time on such simple things. He wanted to be behind the steering wheel, driving where he wanted to go, especially places where there were a lot of people who would look at his fancy car and see how fast he could speed. Yeah, you can guess the rest of the story. Before the car was anywhere near paid for, it had expensive repair bills. He was making the payments for his folly. Did you know that God gives us an owner manual for our bodies as well? And our bodies are worth much, much more than the most expensive car. Don't you think? Yet some of us give better care to our cars than we do to our bodies. Do you think God, who created us, would be interested in how we take care of the bodies that He gave to us? This precious gift of life that He has granted to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says, "Whom you have from God." I think I skipped a slide. "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." We are God's property by creation and by redemption. We sold out to Satan, and God loved us so much He bought us back. He paid an extremely high price to the sacrifice of His Son on Calvary. We have been redeemed at such an infinite price, we should glorify God in everything we do. You may not be motivated to take care of your body for you, but stop and think how valuable you are to God and do it for Him. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." God left us the owner manual to tell us how to take care of this wonderful body. He did it. It's called the Bible. It's a sacred book that God tells us what is best for our bodies, how we should live, and it may surprise you But there's an awful lot in there that we can learn. We're not going to get through it all today by any means. But let's just look at a few things. Let's go clear back to the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, and let's listen as God instructs our very first parents how to feed this wonderful machine we call our body. Before sin came, God gave Adam and Eve a perfect diet to sustain and promote health. Genesis chapter 1, verse 29 says, "And God says, see, I have given to you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food." In modern language, they were given fruit, grains, and nuts. Why? Well, originally there was no death, not even death of plants. We were to eat the seed pods, the produce that the plants produced, but we weren't to even eat the plants. God wanted us just to eat what was produced by those plants and allow those plants to keep on in production. God also gave them the tree of life, which supplemented their diet in a way that ensured eternal youth, and not just the name youth for the family, but true eternal youth. But after Adam and Eve sinned, God separated them from the tree of life, and that's when he added vegetables. Notice there in Genesis 3:18, "You shall eat the herb of the field," or vegetables, as we know it today. That's the actual plants. Was this diet adequate? Yes, indeed it was. Consider that people on God's original diet lived to be hundreds of years old. The oldest man who ever lived was Methuselah. The Bible tells us there in Genesis 5:27, all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. How many years? 969. Hey, America has only been a nation for 336. He lived three times as long as America has been in existence as a nation. 969 years. After the flood, man's lifespan decreased markedly. Noah's son Shem lived 600 years. His grandson, 239 years. His great-grandson, 175 years. By the time it got down to King David, man's lifespan had shrunk to 70 years. It's a big drop, wouldn't you say? Plant life on earth was severely limited by the great flood. Noah's supply of food that he had taken on board was most likely pretty well exhausted after his family had lived in the ark for more than a year. But it was not until after the flood that God actually gave permission for humans to eat flesh, meat. And I can't help but think that perhaps part of the reason God gave them meat to eat was to shorten their life so they would not have so many years to live to learn how to sin. Just a thought. But could it possibly be? Not all plants and animals were good for food. God gave guidelines for the food considered good for man to eat. And a distinction was made between clean and unclean animals. God even instructed Noah to bring so many of each into the ark. Let's read it. Genesis 7, verse 2. "You shall take with you seven, each of every clean animal, a male and his female, two of each animal that are unclean, a male and his female." It's apparent that Noah knew which animals God considered to be clean and which ones were unclean or unhealthy to eat. Later, when God brought the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt, he gave Moses the dietary principles to protect their health and longevity. God identified which animals were clean and which were unclean for food. I'm not going to take time to read all that to you this morning. You're able to read. This afternoon, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 14. It's very clear the distinctions that God makes, which animals are safe to eat, which animals are unsafe to eat. God is not trying to keep good things from you. Rather, he's trying to help you to be healthy, to be the healthiest you can possibly be. Notice what he says in Psalm 84:11. No good thing will I withhold from them that walk upright. God is interested in giving you the best. He gave further instruction, Leviticus 3:17. This shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generation in all your dwellings. You shall eat neither fat nor blood. Now, Orthodox Jews today still follow these instructions. When they slaughter animals, it's hung upside down so that the blood will drain out. Then the animal is butchered and soaked in salt water to draw out the rest of the blood. The fat is all cut off so they do not eat the fat or the blood when they eat the animal. And for many, many years, people thought that this was just a forbidding of eating fat and blood was a ceremonial restriction. However, modern research confirms the wisdom of God when he says, do not eat the blood or the fat of the animals if you're going to eat meat at all. Because we know that the blood now carries impurities, germs, viruses, and bodily waste. Many diseases are passed on through the blood. This is why that we're providing you with the opportunity to go see Mark Anthony. His presentation is on a vegan diet, a strictly vegetarian diet. Come and learn about God's original diet that he created for us. It might surprise some of us how good it can taste and how healthy we can be. But life is a whole lot more than just what we eat. The Bible says that after God created Adam and Eve, he gave them work to do, some useful activity, some things to do exercise with. Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it, to keep it. He wanted him to do something physical, to protect the body from many diseases. An inactive body deteriorates. Exercise improves the tone of the muscles and the blood vessels. The lungs become more efficient, able to process more air with less effort. The heart is more efficient, pumping more blood with each beat. Energy producing oxygen is carried to the tissues, which improves the overall condition of the entire body. Exercise is very, very important. After Adam and Eve sinned, God increased the amount of work and more physical exercise, demanding more work. In Genesis 3:18, it says, both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and in toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. Originally, there were no weeds in the garden, right? It was a perfect paradise. But after sin, God actually increased the workload. He says, you're going to have to now weed the garden. You're going to have to get rid of the thorns and the thistles. You're going to have to work harder, because he knew we needed to work harder. Man needs exercise, not only for his body, but to keep him out of trouble too. Sometimes we just don't get enough, do we? Someone has once said, idleness is the devil's workshop. God said, 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. That happens to be my brother on there. I didn't take that picture. It showed up, and I was surprised. Well, we're to work 6 days a week. God didn't stop with just saying that we needed to work 6 days a week, did he, though? He also knew that our body was made so that it needed a weekly rest. And that's why he gave us the gift of the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day to, let's read it together. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within their gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. God not only made us, God also redeemed us. And he wants us to live, he wants to live his life through us so the whole world can learn what God is like. For many people in your community, you're the only God they're going to see. I'm not calling you God. I'm saying God wants to live his life through you so that the world will be drawn to him. You're the physical manifestation that God is here. And he wants you to be a right example to the world that you're living in. The Apostle Paul puts it like this: whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, we're to do it why? For the glory of God. Every person who truly loves God will be careful to avoid anything that would destroy or defile this body. Think of what you need to survive. Really, just survive. You need food. You need water. You need air. You need Facebook. No. Food, water, and air, right? That's really all we need to survive. Now, sometimes our kids don't think so. But let's look at water for just a minute. God designed this massive recycling purification system for our water. The water we drink today has been on this planet since creation, used over and over and over and over and over again. Isn't that something to think about? God is constantly recycling the water. Water is vital to all living life. Up to 60% of the human body is water. The brain is composed of 70% water. The lungs are nearly 90% water. Lean muscle tissue contains about 75% water. About 83% of our whole body, of our blood rather, is water. What happens when we become dehydrated and we don't get enough water into our system? Everything starts slowing down. The blood can't flow as well. The blood pressure goes up. Everything starts working poorly because there's not enough water. We need to replace more than 2.4 quarts of water each day. Now, fortunately, you don't have to drink all that to get all of that, because most of the food you eat is also a high percentage of water, which you're taking in too. But we do need to drink 8 to 10 glasses of water a day. And that is a need. Okay? Are we doing it? Dr. Jeffrey Utz, a neuroscience and pediatrics at Allegheny University, says different people have different percentages of their bodies made up of water. An adult man is usually about 60% water, while women are only about 55%. I don't know why, but God created us different, didn't he? But when the water goes down, even our thinking level is affected. Our brain being such high percentage of water, when the brain starts getting dehydrated, it literally shrinks and it can't think as well. So water is vital. Water offers plenty of other benefits as well. MayoClinic.com, where I did some of my research this week, points out that water helps to lubricate joints, protects body organs and tissues, prevents constipation, carries out nutrients, oxygen throughout the body, and helps to regulate your body temperature. Becoming even slightly dehydrated can affect these and other bodily functions. This even impacts your metabolism and your fat burning process. Maybe I do need to drink more water. It might help. They go on to say, sometimes your brain will confuse hunger with thirst. According to Ollie Mollenhauer of Vanderbilt University, she says, when this happens, it can cause you to consume unnecessary calories, thinking you're hungry when in reality you're thirsty. She points out that the thirst mechanism in the human body is weak, which is one of the reasons why 75% of all Americans are chronically dehydrated. 75% of us here today need a glass of water right now, don't we? Some of us are saying, Pastor, stop talking so I can get a drink. So next time you feel like grabbing a snack, try grabbing a glass of water first. Try drinking a glass of water. It may help you to curb your cravings. And by the way, I'm going to be very vulnerable. I'm beginning to practice what I preach, okay? I've been drinking more water. I've been eating simpler foods. And I have lost, believe it or not, 9 pounds. I've got 29 to go. And I'd like to challenge some of you to join me, okay? Let's see how many pounds we can healthfully lose. You know, water is so very important. Without it, there wouldn't be any you, any me, or even my dog, Abby. You know, all of us are completely dependent upon water. You can do longer without food than you can without water. You can fast for 40 days without food, but don't try to go 40 days without water. You will not survive. Water is vital. And the unique qualities and properties of water that are made around us are so amazing. It's so important to basic life. Each individual cell of our body is filled with water. The excellent ability of water to dissolve so many substances allows our cells to use valuable nutrients and minerals and chemicals in biological processes, all of which would be impossible without adequate water. Water plays a vital part in our body's ability to transport these elements through our blood. The carbohydrates, the proteins that our body uses as food are metabolized and transported by water in the bloodstream. No less important is the ability of water to transport material waste out of the body as well. So water is number one importance. What happens, though, when we pollute the water that we take into our body? Let's see what the Bible says about alcoholic beverages. Proverbs 20, verse 1 says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And again in Proverbs 23, do not look on wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. At the last, it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Alcoholism is one of the world's biggest health problems. More than half of all automobile accidents can be traced directly to alcohol. Either the driver or the pedestrian have been under the influence. In more than half of all the murder cases, either the killer or the victim or both have been drinking. How much better would we all be if our beverage of choice remained water? Pure, clear water. It's the ingredient we need the most of. But God also created the air we breathe. He created it with just the right amounts of the various elements that we need for survival. And when we tamper with the balance of our air, doing things like smoking, we're throwing off our optimum health that God desires for us to have. While smoking was not an issue in the Bible times, it was not written about, I'm confident if God was writing the Bible today, that he would include something about the follies of smoking, don't you? Smokers have a 1,000% greater chance of dying from lung cancer than those who never smoked. And cancer is not tobacco's only killer. A smoker's chance of dying from heart disease are 103 times greater than those who have never smoked on a regular basis. Emphysema, which comes almost exclusively from smoking, takes more than 55,000 lives a year in America. Nicotine causes our arteries to shrink, so the blood we do have can't travel as well. Once again, I want to remind us the importance of caring for our bodies really shouldn't be left up to the medical professionals after we have destroyed our health. We need to be taking care of our bodies, the bodies that Jesus lent to us. And we can best begin when we understand how important it is to God. Let's read again, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, 19 and onward. Do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Man is truly the property of God by creation and by redemption. The price God paid for us was the sacrifice of his Son on Calvary. Because man has been redeemed at such infinite price, he should glorify God in everything he does. God does not want us to become so preoccupied with diet and health reform and all of that that we have no time for him. We need to keep a balance. Life is not just health, but spirituality is not just time on your knees either. We need to keep a balance in our life. He does want us to study. He does want us to grow so that we will know how to have healthy temples. How are you caring for the priceless body that God has lent to you? Are you keeping it in peak performance? Or have you been ignoring the owner's manual lately? Thinking that maybe you know better, or just feeling you don't have time or energy to pay attention to it. God wrote it for our benefit. Let's make sure that we're heeding its counsels. He's promised that if we will turn back to him and follow his ways, well, let's read it. Exodus 15, 26. Here's the promise he gave the children of Israel as they were leaving Egypt. If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. He added in Exodus 23:25, so you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take the sickness away from the midst of you. Do you catch the significance of that? If we follow the Lord's instructions, the effects of disease can often be reversed. That's priceless information. And that's some amazing promises. Commenting on the fulfillment of this promise, the psalmist tells us in Psalm 105, verse 37, there was not one feeble person among their tribes. That's talking about the time when they were going from Egypt to Canaan and settling the new land there. Because they were following God's counsels, because they were doing what God said was best for their bodies, there was not one, not how many? Not one feeble person among their tribes. Wouldn't that be wonderful to say about Paradise Valley? Not one feeble person amongst us. Not because we drive them away, but because we are following God's counsel and we are living healthful lives. and we're bringing honor and glory to God. If he was willing to do that for them back then, don't you think he's willing to do it for us too? Let's think about that. And let's follow God's counsel a little closer. Father God, we thank you for the owner's manual that you have left for us and how you have told us to have optimum health, how to live for your honor and for your glory. Father, some of us have been convicted this morning that we need to do better. We need to live healthier lives. We need to take time for exercise, for fresh air, for water, for the right diet. Help us, Father, as we learn to grow more like you, learn to follow your guidance and your counsel for us. May you do as you did for the children of Israel and turn back the clocks and remove the diseases from our lives so that we can truly live for you in all that we do and say. We pray in Christ's name and for his sake.